And so, pardon me while I kind of sass my craving here. You know, I think about, do you like M&M's? They're really good. Anyway, isn't it amazing, when it comes to food, that restaurants have to advertise in order to get you to eat? you think about that, really? I mean, I understand that they're competing with the next guy to get you to come to their restaurant, but, sometimes it's like you're going to forget to eat. I think of, here, if I, when I say these phrases, tell me what restaurant it's talking about. Eat more chicken. Chick-fil-A, all right? If I mention a Happy Meal, what restaurant do you think of? McDonald's. All right, we have the meats. Arby's. All right. How about better pizza? Better ingredients, better pizza? Papa John's, right. And all of that to get us to do something that comes quite naturally, right? And that's to eat and satisfy our cravings. So eating has become a habit. I mean, we have a habit. We eat, and we eat just out of habit sometimes. And we go to great lengths to satisfy our cravings. In fact, one time I was at a conference, and we were staying in a motel, and there wasn't a microwave in our room, and no popcorn. And it's like, you've got to be kidding. I mean, we were really roughing it. It was bad. And so we were all ready for bed. I said, man, I really want some popcorn. So I got all dressed back up again. I'm wandering the halls. Where's the popcorn? I wanted my popcorn. You just have those cravings. And I got to thinking as I was thinking about this message. I thought, I do that to satisfy my physical cravings, but do I ever do that spiritually? You think about, do I ever even have a spiritual craving? That's what we want to talk about here today. Today we're going to discuss a hunger and thirst that's not quite so natural, but nonetheless, it's far more important. And a lot of us here wouldn't think about missing a meal. I mean, you say, hey guys, you're going to skip lunch today. No way. We wouldn't think about skipping a meal. But, and then on the other hand, it's really not fair for me to eat M&M's in front of you. So, hey, M&M's for everyone. Let's have the ushers come on up. We've got a bag of M&M's, not quite this big, but a bag of M&M's for everybody here this morning. And maybe since you've been watching this, you've been kind of, man, I'd like to have some M&M's there. So we want to give everybody a bag of M&M's here. You can go ahead and open it up and just eat one right now. They're not big bags. You gotta last. This is gonna be a long message, man. They gotta last you through the whole message. But M&M's for everybody. But every time I say the word morsel, you can eat an M&M. Okay? Every time you hear the word morsel, there goes another one, right? You can eat an M&M. We're looking at Matthew chapter 5. If you're not already there, we're going through a study in the book of Matthew. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, and we're looking at verse 6. Now, Matthew chapter 5 begins what's called the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest message that's ever been preached by the Lord Jesus himself. And he says here in verse 6, continuing on with what's called the Beatitudes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Here's our take-home thought today. And that is, and it's really a challenge, and that is, crave God's ways. Crave God's ways. Crave His will. Crave His ways. Put His word, His will into action. And the fact of the matter is, hungering and thirsting after righteousness is an essential part to your spiritual diet. Now, I want to clarify this, the nature of this righteousness. To hunger and thirst for righteousness. What kind of righteousness is he talking about? What's he talking about? Here's some verses, not in your notes. You might want to jot these down. Romans 1:17. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God. That's what we're talking about. In the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith. from the first to the last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Here's another passage. Jot it down. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. Philippians 3, verses 7 through 9. Paul is talking about his life as a Pharisee and all the good things that he did, and he checked all these things off. I mean, he was this great Pharisee, and he says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Listen, you cannot produce your own righteousness. You cannot, in the flesh, do what God wants you to do. That's what the legalists tried to do. They had this long checklist of things that, like, I go to church and I wear the right clothes and I listen to the right music and I do all of these good things. And so, hey, I'm good with God. That's what they tried to do. And that's what Paul is talking against. That's what God is speaking against here. They sought to fulfill a list of do's and don'ts. But the righteousness of which we speak here today is a righteousness through faith in Christ as a result of salvation. Last week we talked about Romans chapter 9. When we looked at Romans chapter 9, we said that He is the what? He's the potter, we are the clay. He's the potter, we're the clay. Well, the passage continues on in chapter 9, Romans 9, verses 30 to 33. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it. A righteousness that is by faith. But Israel, who pursued a law of righteousness, has not attained it. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, speaking of Jesus. They didn't understand that it wasn't their righteousness. There's nothing they could do to earn salvation or to earn or deserve a relationship with God. It was through Jesus and what He did when He died on the cross in their place for their sins. They stumbled over that. They were looking ahead to the Messiah and they missed Him. They missed Jesus. They persecuted Him and they put Him on the cross and killed Him, but He rose again. Wow. So it's not by our good work, our good efforts, but by His righteousness that is by faith. In chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, again, jot it down. Paul continues on. He says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. A righteousness that's by faith. So you understand, and I think it's just so important that I'm not talking about here when we talk about righteousness and doing things that please God, we are not talking about making yourself better. You can't do it. You can't do that apart from the power of God, apart from salvation. There may be some here say, well, hey, I go to church and I try to watch my language and I try to do the things that God wants me to do. I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with girls to do and all that. That doesn't earn you a standing before God. It's only by submitting to God and salvation through Jesus that righteousness is put to your account. So we come to this passage here in Matthew 5 and verse 6 that points to a happiness that results from hungering and thirsting for righteousness. A pursuit of a righteousness that is only possible as a result of acknowledging your spiritual poverty that's mentioned in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. A thirsting for that righteousness that is only a result of mourning over your sin in verse 4 and the meekness of verse 5 and pursuing a righteousness because of Jesus, not because of some legalistic checklist. I got to do this. I got to do that. And so in breaking down Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, we're going to look at three morsels. All right. We're going to look at three morsels to digest in this verse. Again, every time I say morsel, you can eat an M&M. All right. So in the fourth beatitude, we see that it's the In the fourth beatitude, it's the consequence of the other three. So here's the first morsel, and that is righteousness is complete. Righteousness is complete. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. It's complete. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't other elements to the list of Christian virtues, but simply put, it's that righteousness is a complete quality. And righteousness, you think of righteousness. In righteousness, there's purity. If you're living right, you're doing the right things, there's going to be a purity in your life. There's going to be an honesty in your life. There's going to be love. There's going to be peace. There's going to be patience. There's going to be gentleness. There's going to be goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. You're going to be a giving person because it's the right thing to do. You're going to be a kind person because it's the right thing to do. That's what righteousness is. It's full. It's complete. These are all things that you do that are right. You know, when you go out to eat, you can order a la carte. You know, you can order a sandwich. And then oftentimes they say, would you like fries with that? You know, you want to get the complete meal. Do you want just the entree or do you want a meal? You go get a steak and say, well, yeah, I'd like a baked potato and salad with that. You know, and that's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about just an a la carte thing. We're talking about a complete meal in righteousness. And that righteousness is that which truly fulfills. John MacArthur says, righteousness is not an optional spiritual supplement, but it's a spiritual necessity. We take food supplements. We take Juice Plus. It's supposed to make you healthy, you know. And I have, you know, a handful of capsules that I take in the morning, you know. And I take them and drink water to wash them down or whatever like that. But you know what? It's not enough. They're just supplements. I want a meal, you know. I want to chew my food. I don't know how to just put it in my mouth and swallow it, you know. What you have in righteousness is you don't have just that was a supplement. It's complete. It's a full meal. So I want to look at some concepts here under the fact that righteousness is complete. First of all, understand the nature of the pursuit. Notice the pursuit isn't for happiness or blessedness. That's a wrong goal. The world has this insatiable desire to pursue happiness. We think of the American dream. You know, the pursuit of happiness, you know, and the American dream is you have a house with a picket fence. You have a SUV or a minivan, 1.7 kids and a dog. Hey, you got that? You've arrived, right? If I can just get that, then I'll be happy. That's what the world says. People are looking for happiness in a bottle, through alcohol, through drugs. Just heard we had that Hope Over Heroin program last summer. It was a great success. The statistics are a little fuzzy in my mind right now, but before the Hope Over Heroin event, we were like 30 to 50 heroin overdoses in Miami County in a month's time. And after that, it went down to like 6 for a couple months. I just heard yesterday, it's on its way back. They're back up to over 30 now, a month. And it's like people, they're looking into all the wrong places. So we're going to have another Hope Over Heroin event this summer in August. Why? Because people need Jesus. They're looking for fulfillment in all the wrong things. They're looking for fulfillment in possessions. If I could just get a little bit more. They're looking for fulfillment in friendships and find out that friends fail them. They're looking for fulfillment in thrills. When I was a kid, we had this field near the house, and we would take our little banana bikes, and we had a little mound about that high, and we'd get way back, and we'd just drive as fast as we can. Woo! And we'd jump over that, and we'd go, wow, man, did you see that? I went a whole 10 feet, man. It was awesome. Now they're doing triple backflips and going, 55 feet or whatever it is. It's like, really? I mean, they do it on snowmobiles. I mean, the extreme sports are for the adrenaline junkies. They're looking for something more. They got to do something bigger. They need that thrill. People are looking for fulfillment in sensuality and sexuality. Got to have it. That's what the world, it's an insatiable desire for happiness. Many Christians, maybe some here, you're going from church to church or conference to conference looking for something more. I need that feeling, I need that emotion. And there's many people looking for that kind of fulfillment, even in the Christian circles. And it's a dead end. That kind of, gotta have some kind of wump up good feeling. It's empty because it doesn't happen all the time. So the pursuit is not here for happiness. Your pursuit is for righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Happy are those who hunger and thirst. The happiness is the result. So it's not merely just a matter of putting off all unrighteousness. It's pursuing that which is right. Pursuing righteousness. And that points you to all of the Beatitudes. You put these Beatitudes into practice, and there is a happiness that results. Here's another concept, and that is you need to understand that Christ is your standard for righteousness. Jesus is your standard for righteousness. Not somebody else's opinion or polls or whatever it might be. Jesus is your motivation to do what is right. Romans 1:17. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from the first to the last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now, this righteousness is not self-fabricated. It's from God by faith. It is the righteousness of Christ. When you surrender to God and salvation through Jesus Christ, you're saying, God, I can't do it. There's no way I can become good enough. There's no way that I can earn salvation. I need Jesus. And you surrender to Him. And as a result of that, His righteousness is imputed. That means it's put to your account. It's no longer your righteousness. It's His righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. So it isn't self-fabricated. It's from God. So how do you know if it's your own righteousness or whether it's the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus when you're doing right things? So let me give you a little test. Here's some test questions that you need to answer. I can't answer these for you. All right? Here's the first question. It helps you determine, am I doing things on my own or through the power of Christ? Here's the first one. That is, are you holding to any sense of self-satisfaction from anything in you or anything that you've done? 1 Corinthians 1:31 says, he who boasts must boast in the Lord. Not about what he's done, but what we've done, but what he has done in us. If you still want that pat on the back, or you need some sense of satisfaction, that becomes your motivation, you're still trusting in, you're holding on to your own righteousness. Even John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. Here's another question. Do you see through all your own false righteousness? Isaiah 64:6 says, all your righteousness, my righteousness, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Now, oftentimes we use that for those who don't know Jesus, for the unsaved. But you need to understand, it's talking to everybody. It's talking to believers and unbelievers alike. All our righteousness, anything done in our flesh, is like a filthy rag. You need the righteousness of Christ even after your salvation. It's a point of evaluation. And it doesn't keep you from doing that which is right. And I don't want to cause confusion here, but as you are doing what you're doing in obedience to what God commands you, you're asking for God's help. God, I want to do this in your strength. I can't do it. And I don't want to take any of the credit. I don't want to take any of the glory. It's all you. And I need your help in that. You know, just we think about the fact that, and you know, some Christians think this. Hey, you know, we're better than the non-Christians. You know, can you imagine, you know, a heroin addict, and we sit there and we go, shame, shame, shame. Really? That's what grace is about. It's only by the grace of God that's not you or me. We are simply beggars in desperate need of food, and we found food in Jesus Christ. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to tell others, we found food and it's found in Jesus Christ, and we want to show you how to get that same food that we have. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. Here's another question. Do you have a deep awareness of your deliverance and need for a Savior? You and I are helpless without Christ. Helpless, destitute, starving, dead without Christ. Say, well, how does this happen? You know, when you, by the work of God, realize your sinfulness, and again, that's a work of God to open your eyes to your spiritual need, the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, if you're here today and you realize, you know, that you're a sinner, that's God working in your heart. Don't ignore that. God's pointing out the fact that you're a sinner and you need a Savior in Jesus Christ. And so as He does that and you surrender to Him in salvation, falling on your face before Him and saying, oh God, I can't save myself, I need Jesus. When you do that, He does a work in you. And Philippians 2:13 says, it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You got to do the doing. But it's Him who gives you even the will to do that and the power to do what He asks you to do. And then in Philippians 4:13, He says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Amen? I mean, you know, wait, we can do all things, but we can only do it through Christ who gives us the strength. And because we do that in His strength and His power and in His even working in us to will to do that, to God be the glory, great things He has done in our lives, right? Wow. Think about that. So, another concept here is to evidence a desire for righteousness. You know, people who want something give evidence of that desire. Now, we have our little Lindsay, man, and she, I tell you what, she, if she wants something, whoa, man, you know it. We have, this kid loves venison spaghetti. And I mean, it's like, we have a picture of her, and she's like, she's putting her head in this little cup. It's only about this big. She's like, And she just, she wants more. She's eating it out. She wants it. If she wants a toy, she, you stand back. She wants it. She has this high-pitched scream that just, it's like, you know she wants it. It's like, okay, you know, anything you say. She evidences a desire. If you have a desire for something, there's going to be some evidence for that. He said, well, here's some suggestions to grow in some evidence in your life. Again, it's only by God's power that you can do this. But the first thing to do is avoid everything that opposes righteousness. Avoid things that you know are opposed to what God desires for you. You know, if there was a house in your neighborhood and a family lived there and it was full of black mold and disease, would you go there to visit? Hey, how about we have coffee and donuts or whatever? You know, you wouldn't go there without a hazmat suit on. Right? You know, it's like, I'm going to avoid that house. Same way, you're going to avoid that which is unrighteous. You're not going to go there. You're not going to go around things that deter you or detract or distract you from pursuing righteousness. It'll be some of the obvious, if we could say, bad things, maybe some establishments that you used to go to. You're not going to go there anymore. You're going to make a break. So it's not just doing the right thing. It's avoiding that which pulls you back. And there's some good things that may pull you back. Certain television programs, maybe TV itself. You just got to, you know. And there's some good things that you can do, but if they're distracting you, maybe it's even the newspaper. Maybe it's sports. Maybe it's a hobby. It's gotten out of balance, and it's pulling you away from what you know God would want you to do. You avoid those things. And then you discipline yourself to keep righteousness constantly before you. Well, how do you do that? Well, you put yourself in the path of righteousness. Mark 10, we think of a blind man. His name was Bartimaeus, and he was calling out, Jesus, hey, Jesus, over here. You know, he's blind. He wants Jesus to heal him. They're going, shh, be quiet. You know, you're making too much noise. He's like, no, Jesus, I want Jesus. And Jesus hears him, and he says, what do you want? And he says, I want to see. You know, he wanted to be put in the path of Jesus, in the path of righteousness. And so if you're really pursuing after righteousness, you're going to get around people who push you toward righteousness. I encourage you. You know, there are many people here at FBC that push me toward righteousness. We have these connections areas that we're developing here. So after the services, don't just dash out. Whew, glad that's over. No, get connected with people. Part of the purpose for fellowship at church or coming to church in Hebrews chapter 10 is to spur one another on, to encourage each other to love and good deeds. So you need the fellowship. You need to make connections. You need to get with God's people, whether it's through before and after the services or through our Bible studies or our life group if you're not in a life group. Wednesday nights, you're getting with people so that they push you toward, encourage you in the righteousness of God. You become a learner. You read your Bible. You spend time with God, finding out what He wants for you and how He wants you to live. And you ask for the power of the Spirit to encourage you, to help you, to strengthen you in your walk with Him and putting on righteousness. And you pray, asking Him all the way, God, help me to do this, what you desire of me to do. And then you serve. Are you serving God? Or is it all about you? Here at FBC, we want to see people connected to God and one another. We want to see them growing in Christ. And we have all kinds of opportunities to do that from our worship services, our Bible studies, our life groups, our youth and children's programs to help you grow in Christ and then to give back by serving in and through the ministry of the church and out into the community. That's putting into practice the righteous. Those things are putting into practice, putting yourself in the way of righteousness. Righteousness, it's a complete meal. It's complete. Here's a second morsel, all right? Second morsel. All right? And that is, righteousness is to be craved. Righteousness is to be craved. You are to crave. You are to pursue righteousness as in hunger and thirst. The deepest desire of every person ought to be righteousness. Starving is an all-consuming passion for food and water, isn't it? Nothing, if you are truly starving or truly just thirsty for water, nothing deters you from that. It's an all-consuming passion. The strongest, deepest impulses in the natural realm are used to represent the depth of desire that the child of God ought to have for righteousness, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. So here are some bites to choose on. First of all, chew on. Bites to chew on. First of all, you're not spoon-fed, but diving in on your own. The tense here of hungering and thirsting is a continual longing and seeking. You desire it, you search for it over and over again. Now this is going to surprise you. It is not my responsibility to feed you. That's what parents do for newborns. When little Lindsay came into this world, there were a few months where you had to feed her. She had to be fed. But all the while thinking about, okay, there's coming a day where we're going to start introducing new foods and you're going to eat them on your own. I mean, you're talking 3 months. You start giving them those little puffies, we call them, you know, and they're like, you know, they put them in your finger. They don't know what to do with it. And, you know, now it's carrots and beans. And it's like, you know, she's like, just cram. It's not always pretty, you know, but she's learning to do it on her own. You see, how sad it would be, Victor, if I sat down and said, Victor, I need to feed you, you know. You're how old now? 18? 17, almost 18. You know, he's going into the Marines. He goes to the Marines to feed me. You know, sits down, you know. Come on, CEO comes over. Victor, what would you like to eat? You know, and he's like, no, there's no way. You know, that's absurd. It's not my job to feed you. Now, here's my responsibility is to make up good meals and serve a good meal, right? So that you can eat. And so after you hear a message like this, I hope after today's message that you go home and you start thinking about, man, that righteousness thing, that is it. There's a lot there. And there is absolutely no way I can touch on every aspect of righteousness and feed you about that. But you know what? There are some things in here that you're going, yeah, I wonder what that's all about. And I'll tell you one that I wrestled with this week. And it's the whole concept that I developed and was talking about that, you know what? I know that I'm supposed to do that which is right. God's commanded me to do that. And I know I can't do it on my own. On the other hand, I understand that this righteousness is the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. It's not a righteousness of my own. And I've had to wrestle with that. And I don't know that I've given you all the answers that are out there on that particular, that whole matter of a righteousness not my own, but the righteousness of God. I hope you go home and you say, man, that was really, I had somebody come up to me this morning and they said, oh, Pastor, man, that was deep. Well, good. You know, take it and study it and think it through on your own. Hopefully this has been a good meal for you. And we're not talking about the M&Ms, you know. You know, you're taking this and you're digging in on your own. Say, how can I live through? Maybe one of the things is honesty. You know, man, I got to work on honesty. Maybe you're pursuing happiness and the wrong things. You say, man, I got to work on that. God, help me. Strengthen me. So you're not spoon-fed. You're diving in on your own. And then another bite to chew on here is you search as though you were starving. To be hungry, one commentator says, is not enough. I must be really starving to know what it is in his heart toward me. What is in his heart toward me? When the prodigal son was hungry, he went to feed on the husks. But when he was starving, he turned to his father. Another bite to chew on. The hunger and thirst is to express a strong spiritual desire and need. Righteousness becomes your greatest desire. I want to do what pleases God. And I'm going to ask him to help me to do that. And I'm going to pursue that. I'm going to put it into practice to bring glory to God. Here's a final morsel to digest. All right? A final morsel. Get your M&Ms there. By the way, this isn't a new way to take communion, all right? Third morsel to digest, and that is righteousness satisfies. Very simply put, righteousness satisfies. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be satisfied. You're not looking for water in a desert. You know, water in a desert is like, oh, I'm parched. You know, and you can't find it. You hunger and thirst for righteousness, you're going to be satisfied. So here are some rewards. First of all, you'll be happy. There's immediate blessing upon salvation to know that you are forgiven. Thank you, God. Wow, what a blessing. I'm happy. It's like that first guzzle of water after a long, hard hike. It's like, you know, oh, yeah, man, this is awesome. That's what it's like in coming to Christ. And then another reward is you will have a fulfilled appetite of righteousness. It doesn't run out. It's John chapter 4, the woman at the well, you'll never thirst again. Drink from this living water, you'll never thirst again. And the tense here is in the future tense. You shall be filled. It relates to hungering and thirsting. The filling or the satisfaction depends upon your hungering and thirsting. You drink and you never thirst. Depends on if you keep drinking. You stop drinking, you're going to thirst again. It's an inexhaustible well provided for you. If you continue to hunger and thirst, there's going to be continual filling. So the point here is if you continue to pursue righteousness, you will be continually satisfied. It doesn't stop. It's like, I know where to find food, and it's in Jesus, and I'm not going to stop doing that. I'm going to continue to pursue his righteousness. So it's an ongoing pursuit that has ongoing benefits. And it's found in Jesus. Not in you, not in who you are, but in who he is. But as you discover who he is, you're like, yes, I want to be like Christ. I want the righteousness of Christ, and I want to continue to pursue his righteousness with his help and to his glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Father, as we've had this opportunity to learn from you, I pray that it would be a motivation to continue to learn and to put your word into practice. We need your help. We can't do it. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I encourage you. I challenge you to take your eyes off of yourself, examine your heart, and to think about how God would have you change in light of his word here today. Maybe it's in the whole matter of hungering and thirsting, having that passionate desire to pursue the righteousness in Christ. And I don't know, maybe there may be one of those areas of which we spoke that we said that righteousness is complete. There's many facets to this. Maybe I touched on honesty. Maybe it's a matter of purity. You say, you know what? I need that in my life.